stuffed into a plastic bucket inside a cardboard box that was delivered by UPS. It was sent from Sacramento. The woman who got it, a church pastor, told the authorities she doesn't know anything about it. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And a pleasant Sunday morning to you. Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa are away this morning, so we have a couple of special guest hosts on this edition of Jefferson State of Mind. I'm Bob Martin, and our hosts this morning are Janet Chandler and Chris Kellstrom. Good morning, Janet and Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob, and all the Jeffersonians out there.
Well, Terry and Wynn have briefed you, I hope, on your duties this morning?
A little bit. Terry and Wynn are down in Turlock at a town hall, so they were not able to make it. So they picked Janet and I to come in here. So we're complete rookies. We'll do the best we can. Hopefully you'll all be patient with us. But speaking for myself, I'm a little nervous, but my co-host here looks like she's totally ready to go.
Oh, anything for the cause of Jefferson. So we are going to have a special guest today. Mark Baird will be calling in and giving us the latest on our push for representation and for the state of Jefferson.
I'm hearing there's some news out there. There's some little tips that there might be some big news coming. Everybody's pretty tight-lipped about it, but I have a feeling Mark Baird's calling in today. He's going to be on the radio show. Tonight we have a conference call, which Mark Baird will be on, and tomorrow Mark Baird will be at the Patriots meeting at 3276 Pacelli Lane. So I'm guessing when Mark calls in, we're going to have some good stuff to talk about. At least I hope so. For those of you that might want to go to the Patriots meeting, it's at, again, 3276 Pacelli Lane. The actual meeting starts at 6 o'clock. We have a Jefferson meeting that starts at 5:30. We start about half an hour before the regular Patriots meeting, and we've broken that meeting into two groups. You'll see Janet over in the veterans group, which is the people that have been around for a while and are pretty fluent with Jefferson, know what's going on, and they're mostly concentrating on fundraising since that's our biggest step. And you'll see me in the orientation meeting. That's at 5:30. For those of you that are new to Jefferson or have a lot of questions, come on down to the Patriots meeting. And, again, you can go into the veterans room with all the people that have been around a while, or you can come into my room and bring your questions, bring your comments. I will try to do my best to teach you as to where we're at, how we got here, and what we're doing from here. So come on down, 3276 Pacelli Lane, tomorrow night.
And if you believe that Jefferson is dead, come to one of our meetings and you will find out that it is alive and well and spreading throughout the state.
All right, another thing of news is tomorrow we have another conference call. A lot of you have already been on these. They're pretty informative. You can't actually talk and ask questions. You can just listen to what is being said, but you can go into the chat room, and they do monitor the chats, and they will answer your questions or take questions out of the chat room. So the conference call is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. The number is 712-770-4114. The access code is 307-268 and the pound sign or hashtag. So again, 712-770-4114, access code 307-268, and pound sign.
And if you are out in the hinterlands of Jefferson Territory, meaning Modoc County, Lassen County, Eastern Shasta County, there is going to be a State of Jefferson Town Hall on Saturday, April 29th at 2 o'clock. It will be at the Veterans Memorial Hall on Bridge Street in Bieber. And if you've ever been to Bieber, you know that you don't need a number address. It's easy to find. Bieber is small. We will be there talking about updates on Jefferson, updates on the lawsuit, updates on Citizens for Fair Representation. So drive out there, have a nice day with a trip to the eastern area of California, or let people know who live there that we are going to have a town hall.
Yeah, Janet and I will both be there. It's at 2 o'clock in Bieber. The reason it's at 2 o'clock, just so everybody knows, is there wasn't a lot going on in Bieber, so this date was picked. And then about 2 weeks before this event, they started posting on Facebook they were having a Boosters Club dinner banquet at 5 o'clock in Bieber on Bridge Street. So it's kind of in the middle of the day. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But for all of those up there in Bieber and Alturas and Eden area that are planning on going to that dinner, you can still come to the town hall. Your dinner is right down the street. So come on down 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Listen to what we have to say. Get your spirits up a little bit before you go to the Booster dinner, because I think you'll find out that this thing is happening. We are making great strides. We have made great strides, and now it's all coming together, and it's getting close.
Or if you just want to take a scenic drive over there from the valley, you will be able to attend the town hall and be home before dark.
So I'm thinking, maybe those of you in the chat room, we can't see the chats right now, so but any of you out there, or you can call in. Janet and I, like I say, we're complete rookies. We used to have the bear and the mouse. Actually, the bear's over here in the other room. And nobody could fill their shoes. Nobody could ever be another bear and the mouse. So we can't be bear and the mouse. But maybe you have something else that you would like to call us. Now, be nice to my co-host. You can call me what you want. So I was thinking Beauty and the Beast, but then that's kind of pushing a whole other agenda with Disney. So maybe we don't want to go there. Something along those lines. So.
Oh, I'm thinking the old lady and the tall guy.
Any of those will work, but I don't think the old lady is appropriate.
Well, we have not one, but two Bairds on the line at the moment. Mark, if you'll stand by for just a couple of minutes, we'll bring Diana Baird on here. She was calling in this morning with some information to share with our Jefferson listeners. Good morning, Diana.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Good morning, Janet and Chris.
Good morning,
Hi, Diana.
I just wanted to let you know that we have put out our Jefferson Messenger yesterday, and there's a lot of interesting information on it, and I just wanted to bring that to light. And then also I do want to add one correction to the conference call. It is tonight, Sunday night.
Did I say tomorrow?
And the conference call happens every second and fourth Sundays of the month. So if there's five Sundays, then it would go by. So it's the second and fourth Sundays, and that would be tonight for our next call at 7 p.m. And speaking of the messenger, we have a new website to share with you, and I believe it was one of our first articles. And if I may share with you a little bit about the new look and feel of our website.
Absolutely, Diana.
Okay, so we heard a lot of people over the course of a few years here looking for a more professional look and feel to the website. Well, guess what? In combination with our Placer County committee, we connected with a company called Dauntless Communications, and they helped us set up a new website. This website is going to have much of the same information that we've always had, but there are a few other items that are additions that I wanted to share with you. And the first one is the site now includes a section of the Citizens for Fair Representation. And that's it's an actual doing business as name for our 501c4 for the Jefferson Formation. And this name is also associated with our impending court case dealing with representation and dilution of vote. That addition is going to help people doing a web search or any type of news check to see what is Citizens for Fair Representation. And then another addition is the 501c4 paperwork. We filed a long time ago, but we finally have our determination letter from the IRS. Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Yes. And this is important to know because we have the paperwork ready. And so whenever any of our Jeffersonians have an SOJ event that requires you to be a charity for a special consideration, then we now have that paper as proof to prove our 501c4 standing.
It sounds like things
Another
are moving
feature
forward.
On the website is our SOJ events calendar. We have put up there all of our standing county committee meetings, and we've also put up special event meetings. And all you need to do as a Jeffersonian who wants to post their event is to contact us and then let us know the particulars, and we'll add that to the website.
Awesome. And thanks, Diane, for straightening that up. I apparently said tomorrow on the conference call, and that is correct. It is tonight. The Patriots meeting is tomorrow. The conference call is tonight. Thanks, Diane.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then we do have the final point on the Jefferson site is now being directed to SOJ51.org. The SOJ51.net still works, but it redirects to the .org site.
Awesome.
So using any printed flyers and whatnot, I know a lot of people are thinking, oh my gosh, we just printed 10,000 flyers with the .net. It still works. Maybe the next printing we want to change it to .org. But either way, they will still get to the new and improved Jefferson website.
And I have been to the .net, and it does seamlessly put you over to .org, and the .org is beautiful.
Now, Diana, should we be using the .org? I do, and this is a little tip for Jeffersonians out there. I do a lot of comments and stuff on Facebook, a lot of posts. If they have something to do with California, which, you know, 90% of them do because we're living in a crazy state, whenever I comment on these things, I always put a link there to, and I use, of course, use SOJ51.net because that's what I'm used to. But should we start using .org when we're trying to get the word out with people like that?
You know, Chris, I think that's a good idea. If we can switch from .net to .org, it will be seamless, and we can just move forward with the new site name. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic.
Well, that's all I've got to share. Thank you guys so much. You're doing a great job so far.
All right, thank you, Diane. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Diana. All right, Mark, if we could get you to hang on, we'll go ahead and take a break here.
Okay.
All right, good deal. All right, Janet Chandler and Chris Kellstrom are your guest hosts on Jefferson State of Mind this morning. I'm your producer, Bob Martin, and we're back with more in 2 minutes. The number to call if you would like to join in is area code 530-605-4567. This is AM 1460, KCNR, Community Talk Radio for the North State.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Taking America back is more than merely voting for the right candidate and expecting him alone to turn a morally bankrupt country around. What made and will continue to make America great is a country who allows God his rightful place. Without godly Christian values, there's no absolute standard for our courts to judge by and no standard to hold our politicians accountable. People must experience a change of heart. That only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, May 19th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
And we're back with Jefferson State of Mind and your usual host for this morning, for this program. Terry Raposa is standing by on the line. But first, I want to reintroduce you to our guest hosts this morning, Janet Chandler and Chris Kellstrom. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, you two. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Hey, just calling in real quick. Wynn and I and Sally are still here in Stanislaus County. The meeting last night was amazing. It went real well. We visited Grizzly's Bar and Grill. They have a beautiful outside patio. The folks here decorated the tables with Jefferson colors. We had a great sound system, lots and lots of people, a lot of excitement. And at the end of the meeting, the counties broke up. What was to go and meet with their groups and kind of get things organized on what we're going to do. But it was really kind of cool because many people came here from Merced County, as far away as Los Banos. I mean, it was amazing to see all the folks down here. It's just Liberty, you know, once that wildfire of Liberty starts, it's just contagious. I just wanted to give a quick update on that. So Stanislaus County and Merced County are looking to, they're forming committees. In fact, they formed them last night. And I would say probably there's at least 30 people on one of those committees. And we also are going to be having them meet once a week. It's just an amazing, fun thing. And I'll get off here so you guys can get back to this. And everybody wants to hear what Mark has to say. So just want to give you an update. Good, positive stuff happening. Stanislaus County and Merced County are in play, along with Miracosta County.
Awesome.
Everybody wants representation.
Everybody wants liberty, my dear. That's for sure.
So we are here.
Fantastic, okay. Terry, and thanks to you and Wynn and Sally for going down there and doing that. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Listen, have a great day, you two.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Terry. And Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. Bob, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Janet. Morning, Chris. You're doing good so far, so don't worry about it. Just I think it's going to go pretty well for you. In fact, you may find yourselves a permanent host. Who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened. But I'm thanks for having me on this morning, and I want to talk about the lawsuit and the reasons for the lawsuit. Has anybody read SB1 lately? That little provision that's going to add 20 cents a gallon to diesel tax and 12 cents a gallon to everybody else's fuel taxes. That was probably accomplished and passed through bribery and corruption.
Yeah, and don't forget also that for those of you out there with the zero-emission cars that run on electricity that think this doesn't affect you, your registration is going up $100 per vehicle on zero-emission cars also. So, yeah, it's
good news all the way around. And California's headlong rush into saving the planet so that other countries can continue to pollute, and we're going to pay for all of this. In fact, we are. We're paying for all of it. We're paying for everything. we're paying for every ill in the world that Governor Brown, Moonbeam, and the liar and crook Kevin De Leon, who runs the Senate, who made the admission that half his family's here illegally and a lot of them stole their identity from someone else. But that's okay, because that's what it takes to get along. And I heard another interview recently where a young woman had just graduated college and she rose to be a vice president in one of the Wall Street firms, illegal alien, invented a social security number. But that's okay, because that's what it takes to get along. I mean, you just got to do those things to get by. And I wonder if being a getaway driver for a bank robbery, you didn't participate in the robbery, you just got hired to drive the car, but that's got to be okay, because that's what it takes to get by in this state. In this state now, the legislature of the state of California is nothing but a bank robbery in progress, and I have some bad news, folks. You're the bank. We are the bank. Our grocery cupboard, our wallets, our jobs, everything that we hold dear for our children is the piggy bank, and you still have a nickel in that piggy bank, and the state of California knows it, and they're coming to get it through any means, by hook or by crook. In fact, SB 1 was probably a violation of the California Constitution, which says any person who seeks to influence the vote or action of a member of the legislature in the member's legislative capacity by bribery, promise of reward, intimidation, or other dishonest means, or a member of the legislature so influenced, is guilty of a felony. So let's see. Wasn't there a Republican guy that signed on to SB 1 in exchange for a bill? He's a civil engineer, by the way, this guy, and he's almost termed out. And he signed SB 1 as a Republican in exchange for a bill that holds civil engineers harmless from civil lawsuits in construction projects should the building fail. I wonder if there was any bribery there.
I wish it were more of a surprise, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Anymore, you don't be surprised at anything that happens.
Well, it's funny, because we're not surprised, but we as conservatives and Christians and people who hold Christian values and morals seem to be inactive. These things are happening to our Second Amendment rights. They're happening to our legislative rights. We certainly have no representation in the legislature, and yet we are not doing anything about that. And that was really the reason for the revival of the Jefferson effort, to engage people and to infuriate them into action against a state that simply holds us as chattel and slaves. Really, we're slaves to the system in California, and the Jefferson effort is a rebellion of that. It is a rejection of that concept. We are the masters of our state. We are the masters of our government. We created our government. And the California Constitution, the preamble says, we the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, that to secure and perpetuate its blessings, we do establish this Constitution. So it sounds like at some point, the people who formed the government of California formed that government to serve the people and protect their liberty. And Jefferson is a revival of that message. It's a revival of that effort. And we are never going to quit until we have our liberty back again.
Amen to that.
Now, we have the lawsuit, as everyone knows. The lawsuit is going to be filed within the next probably 2 weeks. We also have some news. We have a county, and I'm not going to name the county yet. Some people may already know it, but I don't want it to be public until the officers of that county agree that it is permissible for us to. But we have a county government that has joined the lawsuit as a plaintiff.
Janet and I both have huge grins on our face right now, Mark, because we know how important that is.
This is almost as good as chocolate.
We hope within the next 10 or so days to have one or maybe two more counties that will join as plaintiffs. And we've already targeted those counties. We're already working inside those county governments to educate the lawmakers within those counties and to ask that they join the lawsuit as plaintiffs. Now, here is the key, and I know, Chris and Janet, you already know this, but for people who don't know it, the key to this is that under Title 28 of the United States Code, if you have a lack of representation or voter dilution case, the federal magistrate must petition for a three-judge panel. And once the three-judge panel is appointed, then Title 28 of the United States Code also says primary jurisdiction for the appeal is not the Federal Circuit Court, not the Ninth Circuit. It is the United States Supreme Court, and they must take the case because all cases are entitled to appeal, all the way up to and including the Supreme Court. Well, if we find a way to bypass the Ninth Circus, or the Nut Circus, as some people call it, then we have primary jurisdiction for our appeal in the United States Supreme Court. And as you all are aware, the recently elected President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, has appointed a Ninth Justice, Judge Gorsuch, and he is a conservative. So if we can get a three-judge panel, folks, it is very, very, very likely that we're going to win. And we are going to win something that hasn't been seen in this country in at least 60 years since Earl Warren changed the Constitution without the benefit of the amendment process. We're going to win representation for rural counties, not only in California, but the possibility for rural counties all over the United States to have adequate representation within their state legislatures. I hate to think that big, but that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. And if we didn't have a county on board, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we didn't have a county on board, then it would go to a single federal judge to decide whether we had a case or not, which would be appealed to the Ninth Circuit. But with a county on board, it goes to the three-judge panel. Is that correct?
Well, Chris, here's the deal. The federal magistrate has all the power in these cases. When you first file a complaint with a federal magistrate, he has all the power. He can say this case is without merit and it is frivolous. And it is dismissed with prejudice. In other words, you can't bring it back up again before that judge. Well, if a case is dismissed in that manner, you do have the right to appeal, but the only appeal we would have in that case is to the Ninth Circuit. Now, if the federal magistrate finds that the case has merit, it accomplishes two things. First of all, if a case is frivolous and without merit, the state of California could file suit against us to recover any attorney's fees they pay in defense of themselves, because we are suing the state of California. Now, once the judge finds the suit has merit, then he must ask for a three-judge panel, and then at that point, the state of California loses its right to ask for fees, because the case obviously has merit. So what we're saying is courts ignore people all the time, and as Edmund Koch said, all courts are corrupt because the judge knows who signs his paycheck. But, and so courts ignore individuals constantly. You don't matter because, quite frankly, we've lost our path to liberty even in this nation. And we lost it quite some time ago. In fact, as Dostoevsky said in the Gulag Archipelago, we lost our freedom and we didn't even know it. But it would be very difficult for a court to ignore a local government like a county. And as we know, counties, according to the California Constitution, are legal subdivisions of the state, and as such, they have a right to petition the court. So if a plaintiff is a county, or two counties, or God love us, three counties, it would be impossible for a federal magistrate to ignore three counties of the state of California to find their suit would be without merit. So what the counties will give us is a guarantee that we're going to the United States Supreme Court. And that's the most important thing in this case. If we can get before the Supreme Court, we can win, and we can win something unprecedented.
Fantastic.
Now, what we win is open to question. As we all know, it is impossible to split a state judicially. That's not constitutional, and we know that. We accept it. But here's what we could win. All of the plaintiffs in the case have sent demand letters to the state of California. My demand letter, I said, I have been harmed in innumerable ways, it takes too long to list them, and by the state of California because my vote's been diluted and I have no representation within the county of residence. So what I want from the state of California, I want a restoration of representation as the founders of the state of California envisioned it. In other words, when my state was founded, we had a government where each county had a state senator, and there were enough assembly people so that every 2,500 people had one. And our state stayed that way for more than a decade until the
the government of California found that it was inconvenient to represent the people because of a growing population. So what they decided to do, instead of living up to their constitutional responsibilities, they decided to simply make the districts larger and larger and larger and not expand the representation. So now what we have, following that model, we finally have a place where a state senator has to represent 1 million people. And a state assembly person represents 500,000, which is impossible.
Which is the worst in the nation, both in senatorial representation and assemblyman representation. Hey, we need to take a break real quick, Mark. Can you hold over until the next segment?
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right, the line is open. One of the lines is open here on Jefferson State of Mind, if you'd like to call in and join Mark Baird and our guest hosts, Janet Chandler and Chris Kellstrom. The number is 530-605-4567. And you're listening to Jefferson State of Mind on AM 1460 KCNR.
Are you coming to the tree where Dad may go down for his love to flee? Strange things did happen, and no stranger would it be if we met at midnight in the hanging tree. In the hanging tree. In the hanging tree.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Join Turtle Bay for our fourth West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition, opening January 28th. This juried art exhibition includes pieces chosen from 335 entries by established and emerging artists from all over the West Coast and was created by curator and editor Michael Duncan. Thanks to support from Sue Asbill and the Community Arts Endowment Fund of Shasta Regional Community Foundation, with additional support from Arch and Eve Pugh. For park hours and more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox. Beat grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire. Representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west and coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team, my team, reporters. Heartbeat, dummy with the rapture and the rabbit and the right. You think you're gonna
and I feel fine too, just like the song said. Still grinning, Mark. I hope you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here, Chris.
Okay. Janet and I have been high-fiving each other and thumbs up all the way through the break. So, again, we know how huge this is, and for the Jeffersonians out there that don't know how huge it is, take our word. It's huge.
We're ready for the end of this world and a better one with liberty in it.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, as Terry alluded to, they had their meeting in southern Jefferson, and there was a large contingent from other counties that came to hear what we had to say about the state of Jefferson, and are now organizing committees in their own counties, and they're going to start signature drives, and they're going to do what we all started to do 2 or 3 years ago. So people who think that Jefferson is dead are absolutely, they couldn't be more wrong. Jefferson is not only alive, but it's growing. And here's the thing, folks. With your help, we can win this. Now, let's go back to what can we win. My demand, I asked for a legislature styled upon the legislature that our founders of this state not only envisioned but put into place. I want an assembly person for every 2,500 or 3,000 people, and I want a state senator for each and every county, in other words, equal representation in the Senate, much as we enjoyed prior to 1964. In 1926, Prop 28 was passed, and that was a proposition, and it was called the Federal Plan of Government. It wasn't exactly the federal model, because some counties in California were so very small that they had to share a state senator. But the rule was no more than three counties, and those counties had to touch one another. In other words, the people had to be linked geographically, economically, historically, and morally for representation to be adequate. They had to want basically the same things. And we had that model of government for 50 years, from 1926 until 1964. And that plan of government, the federal plan, as the authors of Prop 28 called it, it survived five challenges by initiative. In other words, five popular votes confirmed that the people of California wanted equal representation in the Senate for counties as voting districts and taxable entities, and they wanted representation by population. So when Earl Warren changed our Constitution, that of 30 other states, and the federal Constitution, giving the federal judiciary supervisory override over states' rights, if you will, he did a terrible thing. And what he created was what the dissenting justice, Frankfurter, he said, if we do this, we'll create a nation that has an entirely city point of view. Well, guess what, folks? Guess what we have in California in spades? And so what we hope to win is dramatically increased representation. Essentially, Glenn County's demand was one for every 30,000 in the assembly. Mine is one for every 2,500. Well, guess what would happen if I got my way? And we don't know what will happen in the settlement, but let's just say for the sake of argument that what I want and what most of the individual plaintiffs want is an assembly person for every 2,500 to 3,000 and equal representation for counties in the state Senate. California would have to have 14,000 assembly people. They won't be able to do it because government in California finds it inconvenient to represent the people, and they have no interest in representing the people.
And you think CalPERS is in bad shape now.
Right. They represent the state employees unions. They represent special interests. They represent the corporations. They represent the people who bribe them to do things. They don't represent you and I, and they haven't for a very long time. So if they are forced to represent the people, they can see that the monoparty would crumble. And in fact, third parties, and in California in 1879, we had four, five, six parties that were effective and could get people elected. If that happens, the state employees union's monopoly on the monoparty would be over. Their gravy train would come to an end, and this state would begin to return to fiscal responsibility. So if I have my way, California is going to, they're going to scream. They're going to cry uncle. And what is the other solution? Okay, well, we don't want to do what the court suggests. So then we'll say, okay, well, then you vote for a state split, and we'll go on our way, and we'll represent liberty and the people,
and then you can keep ripping off your own people till the cows come home or until they get tired enough of it to do something about it.
Right.
And that's what I hope for.
That is going to be basically their only option or, you know, optimal solution is to let us go. If they were to overturn Reynolds versus Sims and give us back representation in the rural areas, which is what I teach in my orientation class, I mean, it wouldn't be horrible for us. It's not what we want. But one thing, they won't do that. But the other side of that is if they were to do that, all these crazy laws and tax increases and ridiculous stuff that happens in California would no longer happen because the assemblymen can write all the crazy laws they would want. They would never get through the Senate if we were back to pre-64, you know, government here in California.
Well, you're right, Chris, and that's called checks and balances.
Correct.
In California, pre-64, we had a Senate that was a check on the power of the unbridled mob. In other words, the power of the cities. Rural counties dominated the Senate because there were more of them. There were 35 rural counties and only 23 urban counties. And so rural counties controlled the Senate, and they were the check on the power of the cities. In other words, everybody had to cooperate. They had to compromise. Gosh, they had to get along. And oddly enough, California worked then. We had less than $5 billion in long-term debt, and we had the greatest infrastructure in the nation. We were the third largest economy in the world in those days. Now I think we're ninth, and I think Moonbeam is really proud of the fact that we've climbed down the ladder of success six rungs. But, you know, California was a model in those days, and now it's a model of what not to do.
Correct.
In fact, the parliamentarian of the California Assembly, E. Dodson Wilson, wrote a book about the California Constitution, and he said it's everything the Constitution ought not to be. I mean, a bum in the road can change the California Constitution. It's been amended 522 times under this current model of government. I mean, it's the most ridiculous document you've ever read, and I challenge people to read that. I'm one of the few people I've ever met that's actually read it, and the only reason I did it was to see if I could. And it's a piece of junk. It's garbage, and it does not serve the people who authored it, and that's the point here. But what's your line in the sand? What are your listeners willing to do to resolve this issue and reinstate liberty in the land that they own and in the place where their children hope to grow up and raise families of their own?
So now you have their attention. What can they do? What can the listeners and us do out there to bring this about?
Well, for example, in Shasta County, go to the Patriots meeting. Go to the Jefferson Formation meetings. Get a job from your county leaders. They have jobs they need done, gathering signatures, calling legislators, calling county supervisors. Run for office if you're liberty-minded and join the Jefferson effort. Organize your county if you live in a county that doesn't have a Jefferson committee. Contribute to the lawsuit. Look, we need $1 million to win this thing. That's the number that I hear most from attorneys and people who are affiliated with big lawsuits. We need $1 million. And we've got about 160 or 70,000 right now. So if everyone in the state of Jefferson gave $2, a Jefferson, literally, for Jefferson, we'd win this lawsuit. And mind you, Clarence Thomas made the statement in a written opinion in Abbott versus Evenwell that this court has been defending the principle of one man, one vote for 50 years and failed because no such right exists in the Constitution. In other words, the Supreme Court is waiting for a lack of representation case done right, and there are five justices that will vote in our favor. We can win this, folks, but we need you. We need you to have a line in the sand. We need you to stand up for liberty and put your money where your mouth is and not be afraid to go to a meeting, to go to a county supervisor's board meeting, and tell them, we want you to join this lawsuit. You know, it's the people of your county that can get this done, not me. I just can't be everywhere. Terry and Wynn, you guys, Chris, you and Janet, you can't be everywhere. Individuals have to stand up for their convictions and mean it.
And
they have to press that point to the people they elected to serve them and force them to do their job, which is to serve the people who elected them.
And we do have a lot of things that you can do. We have a lot of, errands and chores and all sorts of things that can be done. Hey, Mark, can you hold over? We're going to go to our last break, and if you can stay with us to the other side, that'd be great.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
All right. And, Mark, when we come back, one of the regular hosts of the program that you just mentioned, Wynn Carpenter, is on the line with a question for you. And we'll have that in the final segment with our guest hosts, Janet Chandler and Chris Kellstrom, this morning. This is Jefferson State of Mind on AM 1460 KCNR.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby,
just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry,
oh baby, there.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
It's rodeo time! Steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding. The 2017 Reading Rodeo is coming, and our own Reading Rodeo is the 2016 Hall of Fame inductees. And you can be there this year for all the action-packed fun. Get your advance tickets at ReadingRodeo.com and click on tickets. We will see you and all of your friends at the 2017 Reading Rodeo, May 17th through the 20th. That's ReadingRodeo.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
All right, Jeffersonians, I think we're back for our final segment here. So far, Janet and I have made it through, I think, unscathed for the most part. Thank you to Mark for filling in the time and Kat out there also. So I hear we may have Wynn Carpenter on the phone, and I hope you're still there, Mark. Are you still
on? I am, yes.
Fantastic. I think we were left off talking about representation. And
Wynn, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Wynn did have a question for you, Mark.
Okay. Hey, Mark. Earlier in the program, you alluded to the possibility of Jefferson DBA, Citizens for Fair Representation, being sued, being countersued by the state. Can you elaborate on that so people understand truly what would happen if that were to happen?
Well, whenever you bring a suit against someone, and that suit turns out to be frivolous, in other words, let's say you sue your neighbor just because you don't like the guy, but you allege certain things in that cause of action, he took my dog, or he was trying to feed my goats rat poison or something, crazy. and your neighbor can attack those causes of action that you brought. And he finds favor with the judge, and the judge says, oh, this is all smoke and mirrors, it's hot air, none of it's true, I'm dismissing this lawsuit. Well, the person you sued can ask the judge to award him attorney's fees. In other words, when you bring a frivolous action just to be a pain in the rear end, it should cost you something. And it can cost you the fees and attorney's fees that the other side incurred defending themselves. Now, that rarely ever happens because it's very difficult to prove that a suit is absolutely frivolous and without merit. And according to the Federal Voting Rights Act and the California Voting Rights Act, this has to be done before the state can ask for fees. The suit has to be utterly without merit and totally frivolous. Now, once again, courts ignore people all the time. They do bad things to good people on a daily basis. But courts rarely ignore established governments. So if we have counties who are plaintiffs in the lawsuit because they've been harmed and their rights have been ignored and they've been taxed without representation and so on and so on and so on, for example, in Butte County, the Oroville Dam spillway has been ignored for 15 years by the state. None of the money from Prop 1, the water bond, went to repair Oroville Dam or to improve that infrastructure, or to repair the things that the state has known for decades was wrong with that dam. Well, Butte County could claim very legitimately they've been harmed because they don't have any independent representation in the California Senate or Assembly, for that matter, in order to address these things. So it would be extremely difficult or impossible for a court to find against three counties or two counties or even one county, and therefore fees will not be attached to the lawsuit. Does that make sense? Did I get your question answered?
You did. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, and just so, like the water bond money did not go to Oroville Dam, we all know the SB1 money for the gas tax is not going to go pave our roads either. We already have excise taxes that are supposed to pave our roads and fix our potholes.
Well, I've got to ask you, if our transportation system is in such a hole, where has the gasoline tax and all the excise tax been going for the last 50 years?
Exactly.
It's been going into the general fund,
yep.
Like the SRA fire fee that is largely paid by rural residents. That was a law passed by a Los Angeles state senator, and his constituents don't pay the tax. Does anybody know what April the 19th, 1775 was? It was a shot heard around the world where a few people, 70 men, stood up to 700 British regulars who were coming to take their powder and shot and capture and kill two of their leaders. The established government of the day, the recognized government, was coming to get their stuff. And they stood in the park and they said, no, we will not go quietly into the night. And I ask you people, what is your line in the sand? For me, is life so sweet or peace so dear to be purchased at the price of slavery and chains? Almighty God forbid it. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And I am challenging everybody in Jefferson and in the state of California, because the entire state is going to win if we change representation. Step up to the plate and help us, or shut up and get out of the way, because you're nothing but cowards chained to your master's table if you don't help.
Well put. Well said, Mark. And we thank you very much for the update and coming in and letting us know what's going on. I have to get one thing in here in this last minute because I failed to do it beforehand, but we have a fundraiser. So speaking of what Mark said, what can you do? Well, here's a very small thing you can do that will help us a lot. The Habit Burger at 1020 Cypress Avenue, it's over by Safeway there. They're going to have a fundraiser with State of Jefferson on April 26th. It's between 4 and 9 p.m. That's on a Wednesday. If you print up the flyer, take it into Habit Burger, 20%, I believe, of all proceeds with those flyers will go back to the State of Jefferson. It's a fundraiser. So, again, it's Habit Burger, Wednesday night, 4 to 9 p.m., 1020 Cypress Avenue. If you haven't been there, they're fantastic burgers. My wife loves the place. In fact, if it was 12 to 9, we would probably be going there for lunch and dinner. So you guys print up the flyer and get the Habit Burger on Wednesday, 4 to 9 p.m.
And see you all with Mark on Monday night.
All right, Chris and Janet, Chris Kallstrom and Janet Chandler, thank you so much for guest hosting this morning on Jefferson State of Mind.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate the help.
Good day, Jefferson.
KCNR's Shasta Redding, Sovereign Minds is next.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. North Korea has detained another person this weekend with American citizenship, a South Korean-born man named Tony Kim.
Mr. Kim taught at a university in Pyongyang for about a month. He taught accounting, and officials at the school confirmed that he was detained. They said the investigation had nothing to do with his work at the university, however, and they were waiting as well to find out what the charges might be.
Correspondent Eric Talmadge, that makes three people with U.S. citizenship currently being held by North Korea. From far left to far right, young to old, 11 candidates are vying for France's presidency today in an election that's being watched as an indicator of populism's global appeal. The traditional left-right contenders are